Exodus 20, verse 8. This is what is commonly called the fourth commandment. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Father, we are given gifts from you that are not always appreciated, and we might even say often appreciated. And probably the Sabbath day is the least appreciated of the good things you do for us. To such a degree, Lord, that it is a byword in our society. It is in the way. And the thrills of the last few generations have been to discard it as much as possible, to take it from being respected and honored and even thought of to being ignored and completely forgotten. And now, aren't we in such a better place in the eyes of the world to shake off another of the Ten Commandments, especially this one, most odious it seems, although it would seem the others would be much more so. And they are, to a degree. Lord, help us to be those who love your law and make it our meditation all the day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We have in our days, in our country, a seven-day week. And I learned early in my life that the weekend was different. That people worked through the week, and then there was the weekend. And everybody loved the weekend because the weekend was after you worked the week. 5 days you worked, some worked six, but then you had the weekend. So the weekend, good. Started going to school, we learned the same thing. Go to school 5 days, and then what? You get to the weekend. And then now you've got 2 days. We always wanted it to go the other direction. We'll go to school 2 days. Let's take the 5 days off. But you had the weekend. And Saturday was, that was a free day. You just whatever you wanted to do. But then Sunday would come. And for us, that meant church in some way. Sunday school for an hour, show up, do something religious because it's Sunday. It's the Lord's day. And so that was what we would do. Now, some people, they don't like their job during the week. They cannot stand being told during the week they have to be at work and do these things. They endure it, but when they get to the weekend, that's theirs. When we go to church, church is another day to be told to do something that is not about them and relaxing and getting to take some time off and have some fun. So many people would not give up any time on the weekend for the Lord. We don't expect it from unbelievers. But really, the Lord's Day gets in the way of a lot of Christians' plans. There are 2 days there. I'm working during the week. I'm tired. My mind is tired. I want to get away and do what I want to do on the weekend. So Saturday and Sunday, just like the same day. And they're not like the weekdays because you're not working, but Saturday and Sunday are the same. And the Sabbath day command is a interesting dilemma because some question what connection there is between the Sabbath day, which is noted here, and the Lord's day. And is the Lord's Day the Christian Sabbath? It's been called that. Is it anything akin to it? Is the command here in the fourth command of this chapter, given by the Lord, written by his finger in those stone tablets, is that even good anymore? Does it even apply anymore? The reformers, many men we would very much support and believe in, well, they felt that the Sabbath day was a old covenant thing. Colossians says, Paul says, don't let anyone judge you in regard to a Sabbath day or a new moon or those kinds of things, which things have passed away. But the fullness is Christ. So they say that means the Sabbath day is gone with the festivals, the feasts. Of course, that actually means, I don't want to be seen as saying like I'm smarter than the reformers, but there is an aspect of the Sabbath day that does not continue on into the new covenant. The Sabbath day ceremonial observances are gone. To be Judaistic about the Sabbath, that's gone. But is it that the command is gone? And I've, in my life, seen people be very strict about the Lord's Day, and on the other extreme, very loose about the Lord's Day. I've heard of people making sure they cook on Saturday so that there's no cooking or any kind of activity of that nature on Sunday. And they basically make it a lot like, really, the Jewish Sabbath, which was pretty much locked down in Israel in 1964. It's been a while, but this is how they did it. An Orthodox Jew cannot so much as press a button on the Sabbath, so the elevators are preset to go up and down automatically all day long, stopping at every floor. Tearing toilet tissue is also forbidden. So, separate sheets of paper are placed in all the bathrooms. Guests may not check in or out or pay their bills on the Sabbath. Lights in the lobby are turned on and off automatically by electric clocks, but any other light left on accidentally must burn through the night, since flicking switches is forbidden. You see, that is the old covenant Jewish keeping of the Sabbath. And that is that the Sabbath must be served. We were talking, Mike and I were talking before y'all got here, about the gardens and how the gardens, you know, came as the Christmas thing in the gardens. And it was kind of a delightful thing that first year. They put the lights up. Oh, people, wow, look at this. And it's my opinion that since then, what was made for the community now has to work around. It's we now serve the lights more than the lights serve us. We can't go but one way when the lights are on. We have to take a side road or go around another way. It's not a major thing, but things like the Sabbath, if they are not held in the proper spirit, it turns into we're serving the Sabbath. If you can't push an elevator button, you're serving the Sabbath. If you can't flick a light switch, you're serving the Sabbath. And was that the intention here in this command? Is it wrong to cook on Sunday? Is it wrong to drive or take a walk or whatever on Sunday? Can you watch a football game on Sunday? These are things that occupy people's mind. Miss the spirit of the whole question, I think, we can consider now. Look at the command here in Exodus. This is the Lord says this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Keep it holy means to, you know, set it apart. Sabbath means rest. So it's a rest day. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. Now, this is set apart before the law was given on Mount Sinai. This is in Genesis that we see this. The blessing of the seventh day, that's in Genesis 2. And here in Exodus 20, where the law is given from Mount Sinai, it is put here. But it's been around. It was declared right away in the creation. So this law that was given to the Jews before they were at the, you know, when they became God's covenant people, this command was given before the Jews were God's covenant people, before Abraham, before any of that. So, and I think you can see from the fact that what it says here in this verse, these verses, of what the significance of the Sabbath was. It says it is because the Lord had, you know, divided up time in such a way that the seventh day was special. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Well, why is the Sabbath day blessed and made holy? Because the Lord rested on the seventh day from his labors. And if the Lord rested, and rested in the Lord's sense is not like, man, I didn't think I was going to make it there. I'm going to have to rest if I get back and do something on Monday or Sunday. And so he ceased his labor. And he made it a memorial that the Lord worked for 6 days in creating the heavens and the earth and us, and then rested. And so he designs that we have a rest. Most people are good with resting. When you're young and full of energy, maybe you don't want to rest. You're glad when you get past the nap years. Then later on, you're ready to take a nap. But rest is good. If people are upset with the Sabbath day, someone's telling them to rest, don't work so hard. Take some time off. Oh, what do you mean telling me something like that? What's the problem? Your boss says you got to take the day off with pay. Okay. Does the person say, don't put some binding regulation on me. I'll work all day long. Thank you very much. No, they're going home. It's not considered a curse. By making the seventh day and the 6 days different, the Lord is noting that he created the world. There is absolutely nothing in nature that would tell us to keep a week of 7 days. Nothing. A month, you got the moon. That'll throw you off some over time. But, you know, as far as over a number of decades, you won't be in the same place. But a week, 7 days, other cultures have had 8-day weeks. Some cultures have had 10-day weeks. Wouldn't that be something? 8 days working and then 2 days off. That'd be a bad deal. But what is it about 7 days? What is it in nature? The stars, some rotation of the planet, there's nothing. 7 days, seven 24-hour periods. You can look all around, the sun goes up, there's a day, and there's no difference. There's not a special fire show on the seventh day. Oh, that's why we do it. No, there's nothing. The Lord has put into our culture from the very beginning the idea that the Lord God created the heavens and the earth. And imagine the revelation that is for people if they really believe that. Evolution has taken hold because we've missed the Sabbath day message. People, I want to be able to buy liquor on Sunday. Why can't I buy liquor on Sunday? To me, go right ahead. Because if if you're thinking that way, what's the Sabbath going to do for you in the first place? But as a cultural thing, it's quite a statement to make that we have a 7-day week because the Lord God of heaven made us in 6 days and rested the seventh day. And the seventh day was to be given to rest and for the Lord. And it's called the Lord's Day, although on Sunday in the New Testament. That there would be this focus on the Lord so that the society didn't become completely worldly and work every day, and no difference, every day, giving yourself to business, giving yourself to making money, giving yourself to commerce. And when that happens, people all over the world become more and more worldly. They've had to stop and rest and focus on the Lord. What a difference that would be. That's the reason it was given. The Sabbath was given for man. It wasn't given to punish us. It's a constant reminder of creation. And people don't believe in that anymore. I'm surprised they haven't tried to make an 8-day week or a 6-day week, just anything to get off of that 7 days, because that's what it came from. Let's not say anything about it. They'll probably kick it into high gear. It's not a bad thing for people not to exhaust themselves and lose their family life by just giving themselves constantly, constantly, constantly to work and never taking any time off, never staying in touch with their families, never staying in touch with the Lord, and they wander farther and farther from those things. There's a lot here we could get into, and I'm just not going to. It's just so many things have happened in our world that gets us away from God. This is one of them. Sunday, you know who owns Sunday now? The National Football League. Now, was that the original intention? To rest, pop open a bud, and kick your feet up and watch football? Seems like that's what they say. And although that NFL has been going down for various reasons. But you see, people get excited about that. Oh, they get excited. They play fantasy football. I wouldn't know how to start that. But it's very popular. They'll study charts and study statistics and get teams together and play that. Not a sin, but if you ask them to open the Bible and study a little bit, oh no, that's not for me. It's important, I think, that we understand the Sabbath. It's not a magical day, but God has a purpose in it, and he mentions it here, to rest and to remember the Lord, to be kind and gracious. Not to, you know, to turn aside ruthlessness and uncaring behavior toward your servants. It has both a practical and a spiritual application. These first four commandments are about love for God. Loving God. That's the fourth commandment is loving God, as the first three are. You know, not having any other gods, not making images of God, and falling down to them, and not taking the Lord's name in vain, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those are all four commandments that pertain to loving God. And there's no magic to it. We don't know now that the seventh day is the seventh day, or the first day is the first day. That's changed throughout history. It's not the day that's the important thing. It's this seven, one in seven. What is that about? And we still have, even today, a 7-day week. Look at Mark chapter 2. The difference, just to say quickly, the problem with the Sabbath is that people don't want to spend time with God. And it bothers them to have a day where it was directed from by them, by the Lord, that they spend time with Him or knock off their normal activities and make it a rest day. That is at the heart, I believe, of these things. But look here at Mark 2, verse 23. It happened that he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. Picking the heads of grain. First of all, they're not in the farmers' union. And it's the Sabbath day, as we see in verse 23. The Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? So the Sabbath comes for rest and to break off the normal activity and to focus on the Lord. So the disciples are hungry going through, and it was proper to do this. Farmers were even to leave some there for people to glean. It wasn't that they were stealing. Why are you doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions became hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest. And he also gave it to those who were with him. Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He entered again into a synagogue in chapter 3, verse 1, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. Do you see the depths these people have fallen? They're watching Jesus to see if he will heal a withered hand on the Sabbath, which is against the law, by the way, to the Pharisees. He said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? But they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees fell on their face before God and said, God, forgive us for being so hard and foolish. That's the fantasy league I don't play on Sunday. Actually, the Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. Why? Because he healed a man on the Sabbath. So who is the Sabbath for? Are we for the Sabbath, or is the Sabbath for us? Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath serves us. We don't serve the Sabbath. Even in the Old Covenant. And for Jesus to heal and be accused of wrongdoing because he did it on the Sabbath is serving the law. Legalism, literally, means that you serve the law more than the spirit of the law. You have a law of the Sabbath day. The Pharisees served the law, and they made other laws in addition to the Sabbath law to keep the Sabbath holy. It's like people today in government. They pass a law, but then they pass a lot of things around it, regulations, this and that, so that they'll make sure that you don't break the core. To do that, they put a bunch of levels around it. The Pharisees did that with the Sabbath law. They made all kinds of rings around it to protect it, including we don't heal on the Sabbath. You can't do good on the Sabbath. You can't pick grain on the Sabbath if you're hungry. Jesus said in another place, if your ox falls in a ditch on the Sabbath, do you wait till the next day to get it out? No, you get it out right then, and you go on your merry way. Well, nothing wrong with that. But if somebody wants to eat a little on the the Sabbath. They pick a little corn on the Sabbath. Oh, no. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Mm-mm. That's serving the law in a way that is not for man. It was not intended for that. We don't anymore do that because it never was right. So this legalism, people feel good because they serve the law, but then they miss the whole point of it. The Sabbath, as we see in Exodus here on the fourth commandment, is for the benefit of man. Suppose you're at home on the Sabbath day. Your loved one falls sick and passes out, and you need to call somebody, but you got to wait till Sunday because you got to dial the phone. That'd be work. They'd have to come out here. That'd be work. Have to carry your loved one out to the ambulance. That'd be work. Can't do it. That would be caring more for the law than the person. People can do necessity things. People work on Sunday. I do. There's not the same level of the ceremonial aspects of the Sabbath in the New Covenant. And that's what Paul is referring to when he speaks of let no one be your judge in that regard. There's a lot of Sabbath observances which are purely Jewish and Old Covenant and ceremonial. So when we deal with the Sabbath, it's like, I don't act like it's, you know, let's just speak of young love. Young love, something happens when you're in your teen years. It happens in the spring is what I hear. In the spring, a young man's fancies turn to thoughts of love. Cupid flies around, that unseen little cherub with a bow and arrow shoots you. You don't even see it, but you certainly feel it when the arrow pierces, because suddenly you're in love. And you attach your concerns and affections upon a certain young girl. And here we are, we got a couple of young teenagers in love. She takes a pen when she's not with her beloved and writes her name and puts his last name as hers and draws hearts and things like that. And the young man, he thinks about his beloved when he's out deer hunting. I mean, there's a change. And the desire is, if you're in love, the desire is to spend more time with the one you love. And the Lord has given a Sabbath command that basically is saying, I'm making this a law so you spend more time with the one you're supposed to love. And it's not optional, because if it was optional, it would not be freeing. The fact that it's a law is, it frees us from work we are not supposed to in Israel. Now just quickly, here's what I would say about the moral aspect of this. To me, in Exodus 20, these are moral laws. There's a principle here that is not connected to the ceremonies of Judaism. They had travel restrictions and had eating restrictions. They had a lot of things that don't cover us. We don't do that. But the principle of one day in seven being set aside for the Lord, they made a distinction about that day. When John saw his vision in Revelation, he noticed it as the Lord's day. Not all the days were the same. He noticed the Lord's day. So that principle still, that command as a moral command, is still on us. It does not come with a lot of trappings like the Pharisees had. We don't have the feast and we don't have the limitations, a lot of things. But you see, the Sabbath day, if you want to be with the Lord, if you want to rest, if you want to follow the spirit of the Sabbath day, when it comes, you do everything you can to honor the Sabbath day. Now, there are days you will not be able to like you want to. But if you're inclined in that direction, my feeling and my experience has been that if we want to do something, we're much more likely to do it than if we don't. And so to incline our way, to devote ourselves to God, to break off from normal work, to do other whatever things we would do that would break the normal routine, that's a good thing, and that's a moral law. And it's basically the same as what we saw earlier in these commandments. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. That's not just for Israel. There's only one God, and to worship the Lord is a universal command. And to do that is laid upon every person. And the fourth commandment backs it up. If we're to have no other gods, that means the world is not to become our God. And so the Lord has set aside one day of seven where we make sure that focus is on the Lord. Doesn't mean the other days aren't the Lord's. And it doesn't mean we are like wild for 6 days and in the seventh day we all pious. But the one day means that we are continually ordered by God and enabled by God to pull aside from our normal activity, keep our minds and spirits fresh, and our focus on the Lord. And that is not a bad thing. And those who think it's a bad thing are not desiring of the Lord. There's no 1, 2, 3. If you find someone who said, okay, this is what we do on a Sabbath. 1, we do this. 2, we don't do this. 3, we do this. They've missed it. Because it's not a legalistic thing like that. It is a directive that we stay focused upon the Lord. And we do not let the world overcome us. Now, the world, every day is the same. There's the work week, but as far as days go, every day is the same. There's no Sunday. There's nothing there. If you want to go to church, fine, but that's like a side issue. That's something you want to do. That's fine. Do it. It's a waste of time. But do it. Go ahead and do it. See, the command was to get everybody. And if they would have paid attention to it, people would still be understanding that the seventh day God rested from what? Creating. What? Who? Us. If God is our creator, we owe him all our devotion. Any questions or thoughts you have?